and welcome to episode 175 of the Enough Podcast. I am Mike Hurley, and I am joined, as always, by your host and mine, Mr. Patrick Roan. Hello, Patrick Roan.
Hello, sir. How are you?
I am just dandy, Pat. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm trying to sound Canadian as possible so we don't have so many accents going on here.
Ah, Canadian, eh?
Yeah, sure.
So who do we have on today that beautiful Canadian voice?
We have Mr. James Gowans on, and I've asked him to join us to discuss a little bit of productivity foo with us that he has recently gone through. How are you, James?
Great, thanks.
Yay! All right, so we should set this up. Because basically, this all came from like a post on app.net, which is proof that all you need is the right 256 characters to get on the show.
Don't say things like that.
Because I'll get
everybody
flooded.
He's posting like crazy right now.
You see, the reason that I say this is because what Pat does in these situations is he says, book that to me.
Yeah.
And then I say, yes, Pat, and then book it. For Patrick, it's very easy to arrange these. In his mind, all he says is book that, and then a couple of weeks later, James shows up.
Book it, Dano. Yeah, that's exactly
how it happened.
Yes.
Yep, that's pretty much it. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that to Michael. But I really do. I really enjoy having guests on. So we don't have much time to talk to James because he's like in like executive boardrooms and such, putting his feet up on the conference table. Michael, can you read that post so we have some context of what he posted and why I asked him to be on?
We can. I'm just bringing up the conversation now as we quite literally speak to put into the show notes. So James's was post on app.net. Oh, by the way, for anybody that's interested, tomorrow on Command Space, I'm going to be joined by Dalton Caldwell. So.
Oh, that's going to be so great. Dalton Caldwell is the founder and lead developer of app.net, correct?
Indeed he is. So people might find that interesting. So James said, this is 2 weeks ago, setting up a simple GTD system in plain text files has clarified the places I felt friction in OmniFocus. I wanted a system I could translate into a sensible default on index cards. Sometimes you just need to look at it from a new perspective.
And I saw that and I was like, okay, wow, that's interesting because it touches several things that I've discussed or wanted to discuss here. Being the idea of that ultimately these tools are not always one size fits all. And that also the more, dogmatic the tool is to the task at hand, as it were, the less it will fit most people, except those who subscribe to and work in that dogmatic way. The less flexible they will be to other systems. And one of the beauties of paper and plain text and, one of the reasons why I myself treat these things as sensible defaults, and no matter what tools I might go and play around with, I always find myself back to them, is because their lack of features actually make them the most flexible. And so, James, I wanted to ask you, was that kind of your thinking and some of your friction with OmniFocus? Was it coming from there? Was it other things? I want to find out, why you were using OmniFocus and what you were kind of starting to feel friction with.
There's a couple of things that were, causing me friction with OmniFocus. Ever since I'd heard of GTD, I kind of was looking for the most ubiquitous capture tool, and I kept getting distracted by every new task app that comes into the App Store or that somebody tweets about or posts about on app.net. And every time I would move or try a different app, I'd get more frustrated that it wasn't maybe I wasn't following the way the app was designed properly. And then I settled on OmniFocus, and I had a pretty elaborate set of nested contexts and folders for areas of focus. And I got to the point where it was more of a pain to get stuff into the system or out of the system than actually getting anything done.
And as it sometimes happens, you spend more time managing the system than you do actually taking action on the things in the system. And not to say that, I mean, there's plenty of people that, you know, OmniFocus is fantastic. If you are a canonical GTD sort of person, I mean that is the app to have, because it really was it built with the idea of being the most pure GTD app possible, as it were.
Right.
So some of the friction you said was coming from, feeling like you were spending too much time managing the system than you were actually doing the tasks. What was some of the other friction? Just curious.
We're a Windows shop here at work.
Okay.
And so I don't have a Mac. I couldn't use, except for on my iPad and on my iPhone, I couldn't use OmniFocus at work, which it wasn't such a huge deal because I could use my iPad kind of as like a OmniFocus dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just wanted to strip away. I didn't want to be, tethered to an application. I was listening to Command Space number 7, I think, with David Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, you asked him, like, what would you go with if OmniFocus didn't exist? And he kind of said, wow, I don't know what I would do. I knew that I didn't want that. I didn't want to be tethered to an app that I don't really have any say in its development, or whether or not it sticks around, gets purchased by Microsoft or Apple and changes completely. So I wanted to take something that I could create a sensible default from. And I got the idea for sensible default from you, obviously, but when I first heard you say it, I
from somebody else, but go ahead.
When I first heard you say it, I'm like, okay, there goes Patrick Rohn talking about pen and paper again. And it didn't really click with me. Until I started, I guess I took everything out of OmniFocus and I kind of put it aside, and I started setting up a series of plain text files and folders, stuff that I knew that I could set up in on 4 index cards, and I could carry it with me no matter what system I go with. So I set myself up a Merlin Mann hipster PDA with the index cards and the fold-back clip and the Sharpie as well. And I'm terrible with paper. So, but I set it up anyway, just to have it as a default. I downloaded re-downloaded Task Agent. I can't remember the developer of that application, but it's a Dropbox synced kind of plain text task management.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Your friend Aaron Mankey did the icon for it, which is really, really, really nice. Yeah, and it's
which means, of course, he's heard of it.
Oh, nice.
That's
a nice icon.
Yeah,
God, it's super nice. Aaron Mankey.
He'll be happy you got another mention on your show.
Well, according to him, no one ever talks about me.
No one ever talks about me. Yeah, I heard him. And right in the middle of setting up, kind of just stripping away all the extra stuff, all the stuff that I didn't need, all the areas of focus, right in the middle of that, I was listening to Mics on Mics 37 with David Allen.
Yeah, which was excellent, and, by the way.
Yeah, super awesome. Schechter kept trying to get DA to bite on questions about GTD as a system, and David Allen kind of wasn't having any of it. And that's when he said, and I think you quoted it on your last episode there, where GTD isn't really a system, it's a systematic approach.
Yes. Yes. And that's the thing, right? Is that all productivity is a systematic approach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of these things that we have to do in our lives are a systematic approach, and all GTD is doing is bringing a level of understanding and an attempt to build a framework to which one can build a system around that works for them. But when you boil it all down, and I think that was kind of, you know, part of Schechter's goal was to get him to say what we all know, which is, you know, really it's about getting the stuff that's in your head out of your head, because your head is an untrustworthy servant, you know? And put it in a place, put it into a system, any system, doesn't matter what the system is, just make sure it's one that you trust to look at or respond to when you need to know, hey, what's the next thing I need to do? And in many ways, I think that there's a lot of ongoing meta chatter about how somehow all of this stuff is ultimately organic, i.e. that we will just know what the next thing we should be doing is, and if we don't know, then maybe we need to re-examine what it is that's important to us, right? What it is that matters. And while certainly I can get behind some of that idea, I think that for most people, you don't really know that until you get it all down on a piece of paper and can look at the totality of it and make some smart choices about not only what comes next, but why. And so I think whatever you can do to make that, to capture that stuff, get out of your head as quickly as possible, as ubiquitously as possible. And that's one of the reasons why I, you know, strongly support your move to plain text files and paper, because, well, you know, these are two things that no developer will ever take away from you, right? You know, you're not going to have, you know, upgrade to iOS 6 and suddenly find that your plain text files aren't working. You know, it's just not going to happen. I mean, you may find that task app you're using isn't working, but guess what? If it's all plain text based, it doesn't matter. Open up your Dropbox app, or, you know, copy it, paste it into Notes or what have you. It doesn't matter.
That's exactly it, right? I mean, that's when kind of the concept of sensible default really landed with me, because I'll tell you right now, I've since gone back to OmniFocus, but it wasn't until I took it away from the application level that I realized, like, what do I really need to get the work done? What is the bare minimum of what I need that's not going to confuse me, I'm not going to have any friction with? And then I saw it in four files.
Yeah.
I saw it in four index cards.
Yeah.
And I said, I could take this anywhere. I could take this anywhere. This is portable.
Yeah.
I can put this right back into OmniFocus. Yeah. And as long as I don't get bogged down in trying to overcomplicate it, it'll work in OmniFocus. It would work in Things. Mm-hmm. It would work on a piece of paper. It would work mm-hmm. on a napkin.
Mm-hmm. And well, just because I'm, you know, I'm a nerd and endless voyeur when it comes to this stuff. What are your four kind of big areas that you have things broken down into?
Well, I had it. I had an inbox list.
Okay.
And then I had a action list, like a to do.
Okay. Yeah.
And then two projects. I guess you could say one would be projects and one would be someday maybe. But okay. I kind of called it forecast and horizon, where one would be forecast would be the items that I'm the projects that I am committed to completing in the next 2 weeks to a month. Okay. And that horizon being, I guess, sort of that someday maybe list, but it not completely.
But with a little bit more kind of, yes, I'm going to need to do this, just not within that time frame.
Exactly. I just can't. I can't get my head wrapped around someday maybe listed, especially when they're on a list also that contains things that I am committed to do that just have a time frame.
Interesting. Associated okay. with.
So I just needed to have those things completely separate. I can put a text file somewhere else in some other folder that says, "Hey, I'd like to learn Japanese one day," but that's what I realized when I kind of looked at it. I'm like, oh, I can do this in OmniFocus super easy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've got. I got a system I do. It would take me 10 minutes or less to set up in any application.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I think that's great. And it's interesting that you're someday maybe kind of touched on one of mine and something I've written about before. And I'll put that link to that in the show notes, basically about getting real with your list and really taking a hard look and being honest with yourself about what you really want to do. It shouldn't be things, you know, that your someday maybe list is not a kind of pie in the sky sort of, you know, someday I'd like to climb the Eiffel Tower up the side with nothing but my bare hands, you know. But am I actually going to do that? You know, is that something that I am reviewing regularly and figuring out, okay, what's the next step there? How do I put that into action? Because
what's the due date on that?
What's the due date? All right, exactly. Because if you're not, and if it's just one of those things that you would like to do, kind of maybe if the opportunity ever presented itself, but you know that in all likelihood it won't, get that off your list. Don't even think about that. It's not going to happen. And it's not, unless you're serious about making it happen, nothing, it shouldn't be on there. So, yeah. Well, James, I really appreciate you coming on and just talking for a little bit about this with us. Because I was very curious as to kind of, you know, where you're at and why and what motivated you to go there. Because I do think that is one of those things that I still see people struggling with all the time. And really, it doesn't have to be, you know, the struggle like complicating things. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. It really doesn't. And in fact, the simpler you make this, the better, and the quicker you can get to actually doing those things that you want to do. So, thanks for turning me on too to that task agent app that I had no idea.
Isn't that a nice icon?
Yeah, this is a beautiful icon, and it looks like a great app. I'd never even heard of it. Because, you know, here's the deal. There's so many of these task apps now. Yeah, Freudian slip. I see another one, and I'm just like, oh, gosh. It's the same thing with notes apps. It's just like, no, can't even just look. Can't even think about that because there's just too many. So, all right. Well, thanks a lot for being on, James. I believe
thanks a lot for having me on, guys. I love your show, and I'm super happy to be on it.
All right, terrific. Now get your feet off the conference room table before someone catches you, fires you.
Yeah, the president's standing outside the door. I know it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, guys.
So, should we talk, my friend, about our first sponsor?
I think we should, and then we'll carry on with the rest of the episode, as they say in the business. Our first sponsor today is Igloo Software. Igloo is an intranet you'll actually like. You can give updates, have discussions, and share files of your team all in one place. So with Igloo, you can create, basically, the way that they explain it, is an intranet for your company, your team, your for like some projects, that sort of stuff. But it's really very flexible. So I'll tell you some of the features that they have, and then you know you can dream up how you can implement it into your company. So you can use something that Igloo call their activity stream. So you can see everybody who's part of your little community. You can see what files they're creating and what they're sharing of each other or other clients. It all shows up in their activity stream. You can see any updates that they post. You can collaborate on documents, and you can view all of the comments about that document in line, so you don't have to play email tennis with other people. You know, you can see all of the comments that are being made. You can also revert to previous versions of a document, like Time Machine, you know. So if somebody's screwed something up, you can go back to an older version. That's all saved, everything you upload. SSL is available, and it's secure inside or outside of firewalls. You can make a corporate intranet, as I say, for your team, and you can also make a customer community for your clients, so they can view information as well. But you can keep them separate, so you can keep all your private information and all of the client's information away from teams that don't need to see it. Still maintaining and retaining only one interface, though. You don't need to set up different communities, which is really cool. So there's good privacy controls. Igloo also have a new version, the version Q, just around the corner, which is being pushed out to their customers within the next week or two, which includes some features like a new people search with at mentions throughout the entire platform. You can post content via email, so it allows some of your old guards in your company to get on board by connecting your Igloo intranet with the tools that they're already familiar with. You can view activity streams in RSS, and there's many, many more new features which you can find on Igloo's website on their tour page. All of these fancy features are available for a very affordable price. Prices start at just $99 a month for a team of up to 25 people, which is really, really great for the power that they're giving you. Go to igloosoftware.com/70decibels, where you can sign up for a free 30-day trial, no commitment or credit card required. And I would like to thank Igloo for their support of Enough and 70 Decibels.
Yeah, see, this is another one of those cases where, Mike is the producer of the show, and he's the nuts and bolts, and he runs the entire operation. I pretty much just show up. And so a lot of times I don't, I don't get to see, our sponsor. I know who it is, but I don't really get a chance to kind of look and research and say, oh, okay, that's cool. And da, da, da. And here's one that's like, I immediately, like, one of my clients needs this, like, today.
Like, well, you can sign up for a 30-day free trial, Pat, at igloosoftware.com/70decibels.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to send, as soon as we get off, I'm going to send it to her and say, here you go. Because it's that internal kind of thing, and then having this external portal for clients and being able to do stuff. Yeah, sold. Done. So thank you, Michael.
No problem. Thank you. So do you want to talk about? What's next on the list today?
Well, so further on the kind of productivity discussion. So I wrote a guest post for Michael Schechter's site. Since he keeps coming up in conversation, we might as well just keep talking about him.
Yeah.
It's not up yet. He tells me he'll be up at some point this week.
That's bettermess.com.
Bettermess.com. So keep an eye out for that. And I wrote it about week ago or so. But today, CJ Chilvers of A Lesser Photographer wrote a piece along a similar theme. And that theme is this. And that is, what price are we paying for productivity? The way that I laid it out was this, and that is, I want everyone to take out a piece of paper at the beginning of their day and write out everything they have to do. even the most mundane things like make coffee or bring the kids to school or get dressed for work, put it all down on a piece of paper, write it all out, every single thing you have to do. And then I want you to eliminate 20% of it. because I can guarantee you that there are at least that many things that are things that we would like to do or that we think we should do or that that we have on there because putting other things on our to-do list doesn't necessarily look like work to us or feel like work, or we're afraid of, you know, people thinking that we're kind of goofing off as opposed to quote unquote working because it doesn't look like work to them. But in fact, it may be very beneficial to our work. Things like taking a nap. You know, naps are actually proven to improve productivity. Go figure. There are studies showing that we as a human race are not in the Western world are not getting nearly enough sleep. Like not even close to what we should be getting, that we're working too much, that we have too much to do, that we're always working, that we are spending way too much time in front of glowing rectangles. And not spending enough time with our families, you know, skipping family meals or during family meals, you know, having this, you know, smartphone off to the side that we're constantly checking, you know, just for a second. We're choosing to be busy. When in fact, we really don't have to. And we could probably all get rid of about 20% of it. And 20% of a 24-hour day is 4.8 hours. And if we can knock off 20% off of things we have to do, that's 4.8 hours that we can actually do the things that we really, really, really should be doing. Like sleeping, like spending more time with our families, like taking a walk, like exercise, you know, go outside and play, just for the sake of it, just play, because all of these things matter. And if we are not taking the time to put on that list these things that feed our hearts and souls, and instead just have on that list drudgery and things that suck them dry, then, you know, what's the point? Life is way too short. And time is irreplaceable. And so how we spend it really, really, really matters. And so, you know, I think about this for myself, especially because as a writer, a lot of the things that I might do don't necessarily look like work to a lot of people. When, in fact, in order to write kind of, you know, the step before step one of writing, and step one of writing is sitting your butt in a chair and doing it. But the many steps before that is actually living a life. Because if you don't have anything to write about, you're probably not living a life worth writing about. And so you need to live a life worth writing about. And living a life worth writing about means going outside and taking a walk and observing things and sitting in a cafe by yourself and just staring at people. Just people watch for a while. And it comes from conversations that you might have with your wife and your children and your friends and your family and your, you know, and acquaintances on the street. It might come from random connections and meetings that you, that happen when you're out and about. You know, maybe you go to the bread store and you run into your neighbor who tells you a fascinating story about, a trip that they just got back from. Guess what? These are all things that drive my work. There is integral to the work as the work itself. They are all part of the work. So that's my thoughts. Michael?
When you mentioned this to me beforehand, I thought it was going to take a different tact on it, really. And I was just going to say about how it's a, can be a good thing. Like to so what I was going to say was, because I thought, you know, you, you sort of mentioned to me and you have mentioned how when you're reading, you're working,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the way that I was thinking of that was in the idea of why it can be nice to work on something that you love, because you love reading. So even when you're doing something that's enjoyable, like reading, you're working. So I was thinking, like, I listen to lots of podcasts. I love podcasts. And where I listen to them for enjoyment, I am also working when I'm listening to them. So, for example, when I listen to a 5x5 show, or a Twitch show, of course, I'm listening to how Dan and how Leo are presenting, and I'm listening to the things that they do and the things that they say and trying to pick up on tips. Like, for example, when our next sponsor, Squarespace, when I hear a Squarespace ad on another show on another network, I listen to how they're done and hear if there's ways that I can improve our advertisements.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And oftentimes you probably have, like, you know, Sammy or other people saying, oh, why do you listen to podcasts all the time? You're just goofing around. And you probably don't have Sammy saying that, but you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Like, to a casual observer, it would look like you're just sitting there listening to your iPod, right? You know, like, you know, or your iPhone. You're not, like, you know, getting things done, as it were. And the fact is, you very much are.
I'm always getting things done.
Right. So my wife is a nonprofit business consultant for small nonprofits, but many of her small nonprofits that she consults with are theater companies. And she's actually been in, you know, she's been working in theater management for years and years and years, and is fairly well known in the theater community in the Twin Cities from the theater management perspective. And by fairly well known, I mean she's probably the most in demand person in town. And so we oftentimes will go to a play or go to some other sort of event or show or art opening or this or that or the other thing. And that may look like fun, and it is fun, and it may look like, oh, we're just, you know, going for entertainment. And that, no, it's work for her.
Like, you're going for entertainment.
Well, I'm going along as her arm candy, but for instance,
that goes without saying.
Yeah. I mean, she just, we just got tickets for an upcoming show, here in the Twin Cities. Guess what? You know, that's work for her. That's part of her work. And those tickets are, you know, purchased by her business, you know, to go and to do the showing up and the networking and have the discussions and make the connections that are integral to her getting her work done. It is not unusual for us to go to, say, some art opening, or some play, and for her to run into this person who introduces her to this other person that needs her to, you know, for some work, and boom, there she's got a whole new client out of the deal. And so, yeah, similar sort of thing where, you know, even the things that look like fun are, in fact, oftentimes work or things that need to get done. That said, there's a client event tonight because it is the elections here in the U.S. today. And one of her clients is a labor union, a very large labor union. And they have a election hospitality suite going on tonight. And while it would be very good for her to kind of go to the election party, you know, to see the results and things like that. It's actually, we've had a few nights of being out and about this week. And quite frankly, it's more important to spend it at home with each other. And more importantly, Duchess Beatrix of Heck of a Lot, our royal daughter. And so, you know, it's all about choices. And the choices we make with the time that we have matter. And, you know, it's the, you know, all work, no play makes Jack a very dull boy kind of idea. But more than that, all work and no play kills us slowly but surely. Kills us in ways that only we can do. And the only way to save ourselves from that certain death of our souls is to make the choices that make them come alive again. And that's what I have to say about that.
Well, there you go. Do you have any? Should I talk about Squarespace now?
I think we should talk about Squarespace.
So everybody knows Squarespace by now. Squarespace are the site that give you absolutely everything you need to create an amazing website, blog, portfolio, your home online. Squarespace provides you with the tools you need. It's a fully hosted, completely managed environment for creating and maintaining that beautiful site. And they are beautiful because of the templates that they give you. So with Squarespace, you get the ability to create a website with one of the beautiful templates that they provide in version 6. And in these templates, not only are they designed very, very nice, and they have responsive web design. So no matter what device you look at, so if you're looking at a Squarespace 6 site on your MacBook Air, or if you're looking on your iPad Mini, or indeed your iPhone, the site scales and all the content moves around, and all of your design choices are maintained as well as they can be to best format and fit themselves onto that device. So you don't get like a mobile view that is stripped of all of the lovely fonts and things that you've created. They do their best to resize everything. And if you want to see an example of this, go to mikehurley.net and you will see how it changes on it on each different device, because I use one of the Squarespace 6 templates there.
Great.
Thank you. Everything in Squarespace is drag and drop, which makes it even easier and fun to use. So their layout engine, which is the system that they use for you to build pages, you just drag in blocks of content such as photos, videos, text, social media content, and loads more. And then you just can, if you want to reorder the way that they look on the page, you just drag and drop them around. If you like stats, you'll love their real-time analytics, and they have iOS and Android apps so you can manage and post on the go. You can even import your current blog and easily set up sharing and syncing with your social media accounts. There's no credit card required to try out Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com/70decibels and you can start your free trial. Squarespace is $10 a month for the standard plan and $20 a month for the unlimited plan. You get 20% off if you sign up front for a year, and you'll get 25% off if you sign up front for 2 years. And if you enter the offer code 70decibels11, as we are now in the month of November, you will get an additional 10% off your first purchase. I want to thank Squarespace, one, for their support, and two, for doing everything that they did during Hurricane Sandy to keep the service up and running. My hat is off to Squarespace and the fantastic work that they've done for being not only a supporter of us, but for being a great pillar of the internet. So thank you very much to Squarespace.
Yeah. So, you know, when I said that I just ignore even notes apps, all these notes apps that come out?
Yes.
I completely lied.
Squarespace notes.
Yeah, I didn't ignore that one.
It's cool, right?
I didn't ignore that one at all. I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. This is a new direction for them. And I know, look, this is not part of the sponsorship. I'm just mentioning it because it's a really well done Notes app and the spirit of other Notes apps that are out there, but it's clean and such. But the one reason I wanted to mention it in regards to the sponsorship is that the one neat thing about the Notes, the Squarespace Notes app, is that amongst the ability to synchronize with, you know, Dropbox and email notes and things like that, you could also use it to draft ideas for your Squarespace-based blog or site. You know, you can, and it's completely clean interface, and with like a swipe, you can send it off to your Squarespace site and create a whole new draft post ready for you to edit and go. It's really slick, and I think it deserved a mention, and that's all.
Cool. So, Pat, have you got anything else you want to talk about at all today?
No. I think we covered it. We had an entire show. So, like, the past couple of shows have been, like, all about technology. That we've had a show all about productivity. We're returning back to our roots.
We are. So, Pat, what's the best way for people to contact you?
These days? I don't know. Message in a bottle? Flying airplane? You could write it on a flying airplane and... But if you don't have any of those or the strength to throw that far, I suppose app.net works. I'm Patrick Rhone, PatrickRhone. Also, gladly accept email at patrick@patrickrhone.com, just like it sounds. Those are probably the two best ways. What about you, Michael? What if they've got comments about the show or things they want to see, things they want to hear us talk about?
They can do that in a couple of ways. You can go to 70decibels.com/contact, fill out the contact form. You can reach me personally on Twitter. I'm iMike, iMyke. Thank you very much for listening to episode 175 of Enough. I am Mike, and he is Pat.
And we'll chat later.
Cheers.
Cheers.